It's good to be back. Those of us who have been blessed at the Holy Land trip can say this, all thanks and praise to God. 16 days, we did not lose a hair, for the Lord says, even your hairs are all numbered. It was a glorious traveling seminar. Every day, the Lord provided for us a place of meeting, morning and night. So we all had altogether about 30 devotions together. On the buses that we rode in, we had times of encouraging each other, sharing, singing the songs of Zion. And then the best thing was to see the land which our Lord Jesus walked on. To see the Sinai Peninsula and all the evidence of the flood to tell us the Lord is coming. And to walk on Mount of Olives where the Lord will descend soon. Do you not see the signs? This morning's paper said catastrophic earthquakes and flooding in South America. Thousands of lives are lost. How about bird flu? Our chairman in London, Dr. Teo Chong Gi, has been relocated to America because he is an authority on this virus infection. Suddenly we are afraid of birds. The birds can carry flu. And the fear is, if bird flu should strike, 50 million to 150 million people may be killed. You say, what's happening? Our Lord Jesus predicted all this. Wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations, famines, pestilences. This is a pestilence. Please be warned. It's good to be back from the Holy Land. And there is a request coming to say, how about next year? So I say to you, how about next year? Continuing our storytelling time. Tonight, it is about choosing a career. I want to speak very plainly to all our friends here that when you come into the family of God, you come under a very special, caring Father. If you have not experienced this, tonight we are going to hear about it. That God not only cares, is interested in you, not just career, mind you, some of you have no ideas about any more career because you are retiring like me. I'm not worried about career. But once you come into the family of Jesus Christ, He's interested and concerned and able to look after your career, your whole livelihood, your whole future, and your eternal security. And this is the theme for tonight. Is God able? Psalm 37, if you just turn there quickly, and two verses will help you understand that our God is able. What we need tonight is to pray for faith. Oh my friends, knowing the word of God is not enough, but to assimilate, to receive, to absorb, to hide the word of God in your hearts and make it your own, and to say, because God's word says this, I believe. When you believe, you come into the position of greatest blessing. Psalm 37 verses 4 and 5. Would you like to read with me? It is good, you know. When you read, it reinforces your faith and belief in that verse. Alright, Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Together, please. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. What a promise! Who is saying? God is saying to us, in the experience of David the king, he is speaking from what God has done for him. You have a desire. It says here, delight thyself in the Lord. Do you make Him, the Lord God Almighty, your chief delight? Do you? Ask yourself, is He your greatest joy, your greatest fulfillment, your greatest provider, protector, sustainer, creator? Do you know Him? Are you really a member of His family? And it says here, when you delight in Him, He will give you the desires of thine heart, provided, of course, that you keep trusting in Him. And when you trust in Him, you will desire for the good things. Now the next verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. You want to be a teacher, a nurse, a technician, or an engineer, or a scientist, or a doctor, or a lawyer. Pray about it. Tell the Lord about it. Lord, is it your will? Will you fulfill that will in my life? Will God do it for you? When I went to school, in Anglo-Chinese school, 1932, when I walked into the chapel hall, I saw this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, that He shall direct thy path. How wonderful. I never forgot that. 1932 till now. That old school was good. Today is very mixed. Anglo-Chinese school. Now, my friends, let's look into what God can do. I want to remind you of a wonderful story. When we talk of careers, the career of Joseph is something we can always learn new lessons from. You know the story of Joseph, don't you? How many of you don't know? Joseph, the son, favorite to the father, and because he was so favorite, the father made him a wonderful coat. You're going to see something of that coat afterwards. Now, chapter 37 of Genesis, please turn there. Genesis chapter 37. How God chose the career for this man of God. Who was the man of God? Joseph. The youngest, from the second youngest son of Jacob. And how God led him, promoted him, protected him, and installed him to be prime minister of Egypt. Please follow me. Verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, age 17, make a note of that. A late teenager, right? 17. Feeding the flock with his brethren. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, and because he was the son of his old age, and he made him, therefore, a coat of many colors. I do not know what the significance of many colors is. Whether many colors means more honor, more fashion in those days. Anyhow, this son of his was made distinctive, different from the other 10 sons. Verse 4. When his brethren saw that the father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peace with him. Verse 5. Now comes the dreamer. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray thee, this dream have I dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and stood upright, and your sheaves stood round about and bowed to my sheaf. Wow. And this was the youngest brother telling the 10 older brothers. Can you imagine how green they were? Angry, provoked, and they all sharpened their knives. Number 8. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" Now, here is a prediction, right? You know that in years later, all the brothers came down to Egypt, and all of them bowed and made obeisance to this ruler of Egypt who was the brother unknown. Now here is the dream. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams. Verse 9. Then he dreamt another dream. He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren, and they said, and he said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." Amen. And the brethren were so indignant, so angry, they plotted to kill him. How did God move for this man? If you read Genesis 39, you have the clue. Yes. The clue is that in that chapter, which related, firstly, the temptation by Potiphar's wife, and then how Joseph was cast into prison, and out of the prison, he was promoted. Four times in that chapter, we read this. God was with him. The Lord was with him. And I say to all our believers here, please seek the Lord every day, with heart and soul, mind and strength. Make him your chief pleasure and your delight, the Lord. May the Lord be with you, be your theme for every day. If you are not a believer, come into the family and seek the Lord tonight. And make him your chief delight. Then he will look after your career, your future, your present concerns, your needs, your problems, and your eternal future that you can go to bed every night with assurance. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Should I go to bed tonight and my heart forgets to beat and I go? Does it matter? You say, "Oh, does it happen?" I can assure you, dear friends, it happens. What happens? You may go to bed and you may not wake up, please. But I say, when you have the Lord with you, absent from the body, stop breathing, means instantly in the presence of the Lord. Now, that is Joseph's story. My father was like a Jacob. Now, this is storytelling time. He loved me more than all the other 7 children. And not only just that, but he tells people. And what could I do? And he also made me a coat. I'm going to show you that coat. I'm very embarrassed to have to show you the coat. So that you trust me that there was a coat. However, we live in a place called Kluang. You know where is Kluang? If you know Johor State, in the very center of Johor State is a small town. In those days, about 4 streets. Now it's a big, bustling city. And we live in that small place, and Father would make me a suit. Not only that, ties a tie for me. I don't know how to tie a tie, but he made me tie a tie. And with that, sends me on errands here and there. And I got a parade through Kluang town. A little boy of 8 years old dressed in a suit. Why? Because Father says, "This is my special son." My friends, when I think of it, I can only say, thank God for Father. I cannot blame him if he wants to love me, right? But the thing is, thank God none of my brothers or sisters hated me for that. They did not plot to sell me into Egypt. That's for sure. All of them loved me just the same, for which I am very grateful. Now I must show you the picture. Be prepared for a shock. That's me. Wow. Quite different, huh? But can you imagine, at 8 years old, I could not do anything. I could not protest. My father loves me. And he says, you go and make a suit. And you wear the suit and go out and run my errands for me. Wow. So here it is, another Joseph. When I was small, father always told all the friends, he is my favorite and he will be a lawyer. I said, how come lawyer? He says, because he talks a lot. So, is that true that lawyers talk a lot? Whatever it is, he predicted. And this was, of course, a false prophecy. I never became a lawyer. However, this was how he intended. Now let me tell you, God is interested in your career. I'm going to show you my life history in the career. God molded my career. I went to a school called Anglo-Chinese School, a Methodist mission school, 1932 to 1946. 32 to 46 is 14 years. You say, why? Because of the 4 years of Japanese occupation. So you see from here, I was in standard 8. Now the grades and standards of schools have changed in names. Nowadays they have O levels. This was the year before O levels, right? Year standard 8. 1941, suddenly out of nowhere came the bombs, Japanese bombs. Everything ground to a halt. We had always sung in school, "Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. England will rule the world forever and ever. Amen." Suddenly, Japanese defeated the British. Something unheard, unknown, unexpected, impossible? Possible. Because the British surrendered. So now we come into the Japanese regime under the rule of a very cruel and bloodthirsty people who, if you have read The Rape of Nanking, 1937, how they demolished all the Chinese people there. Now they're doing it in Singapore. Thousands and unknown thousands of young people, aged 18 plus, were taken and never seen again. We lived. 1942. Under the Japanese, I did not live in Singapore. Anglo-Chinese school was in Singapore, so we returned to Batok Pahat. God was good and God was great. And He looked after us that through all the 4 years, none of our family suffered in any way under the Japanese. My classmates were taken, my teachers were taken, and they never seen again. But God was good. As the Word of God says, for even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And we can only thank God. Not that we are more lucky or better in any way, but just God is good, gracious, preserved us, kept us, and all the Japanese we knew were kind Japanese, good Japanese. Not to say the whole nation is evil and very brutal. No, they are good men. God sent us. 1942. My sister graduated under the bombs of the Japanese aircraft. And so she became a doctor. And we all returned to Batok Pahat. Again, you ought to know something of Johor geography. Where is it? Batok Pahat is on the west coast. If you look at me, Batok Pahat like this, it is there. All right. By the sea, near the sea, not by the sea. And there, father had a clinic. So naturally, I was 1942, I was 17. I began to help in the clinic. To clean, to mop, to just be the odds and ends boy. Okay, help father. There's nothing better than helping father. So that was my job. Biggest eldest brother is Timothy in Singapore, working for the Japanese. Second brother was in China. He was studying in Hong Kong when the war broke out, and then a group of students from Hong Kong University walked back to China, to Chongqing. And there they were, but no news from him for 4 years. So I was the next. I helped father. Sister was a doctor at that time, helping father. One night came a call. Now this is very interesting. Doctor, please come. My daughter having a baby, cannot get the baby out. Please come. So sister prepared her bag, put in the obstetric forceps, and let's go in the taxi. When we reached there in the rubber estate, a dim and dingy looking bedroom, there was a young lady with the mother at the head end encouraging her, and the father of the girl who brought us there, brought us in there. Sister made the examination. They said, all right, baby's head is there, but mother has no strength to push out the baby. What to do? She got ready her forceps. Now, forceps are something like this. And you put on the baby's head, and the handle comes out, then you pull. And when you pull, the head will come out. So this happened in that room. I still remember the hurricane lamp, because it's not a very bright place, no electricity in those days. So you use hurricane oil lamp. So she got her forceps sterilized in the solution, then applied. Younger people, it's all mystery to you. All mystery. But it is happening in real life. Now, like this. Okay, can you imagine? Here's the baby. Forceps. And she pulls. Pull and pull and pull. At the head end, the mother was administering nicotine anesthesia. You know what I mean? She smoked a cigarette and put them into the mouth of the daughter and said, air, salt okay, salt okay, salt okay. Puff it in. Puff it in. I don't know what puffing a cigarette causes, what effect it has on the person. But apparently, when she did that, she was in a kind of a somnolent and painless state. After a long time of puffing and pulling and puffing and pulling, sister could not make any headway. She says, Xiang Hua, you have a try. I said, all right. I washed my hands, put on the handle. Okay, pull, pull, pull. Out came the baby. When the job was done, she did her stitching, took out the afterbirth, everything was fine. On the way back, she says, there you are, here's your career. You will be an obstetrician. By the way, let me explain to you what is an obstetrician. What is obstetrics? Comes from two Latin words, obsteto. Steto means to stand. Obs means stand by. An obstetrician is one who stands by a laboring woman and let her do the job you stand by. That is called obstetrics. The labor is the woman. That is her job. That's why you call it labor. Hard work, you know. Until the baby is pushed out, then the obstetrician stands by to carry the baby. That's our job. So sister says, you be an obstetrician. I didn't object. That was 1942. While in Batu Pahat, I used to go to a friend's place to listen to the secret radio. VOA, Voice of America Radio. To hear what was happening with the war. We had no news. Any time you take to the newspaper from the Japanese, Japanese winning every war, every battle, winning more and more. Now almost on the threshold of India, going to conquer India, you know. So
So what do we know? But while they were going to India, the Americans were coming by the Pacific. So by 1945, we heard the atom bomb had fallen. Two bombs. August 6th, first one, Hiroshima. That terrible island bore the first shock. One bomb, 100,000 human beings evaporated into nothing. Can you imagine it? That kind of heat is so immense and so terrific. Japanese were tough people. Said, well, we can still fight. 3 days later, Nagasaki, another bomb, boom. In 1 minute, 100,000 people disappeared. So they capitulated, 1945. So the British came back. We were pleased to see the British. Went back to school, finished my senior Cambridge, that's O level. Senior Cambridge in those days is equivalent to your O level today. After that, now the career progresses 1947 to 1953 to medical college. In those days, it's called King Edward VII College of Medicine. Today is NUS, National University of Singapore. Same thing. Alright, when I finished 1953, I asked to do obstetrics, naturally. Sister says, you'll be obstetrician. I say, I agree. Okay. So, 1955, they took me in. The hospital is called Kandang Kerbau Hospital. Do you know the meaning of Kandang Kerbau? Kerbau, you know what is Kerbau? What a buffalo! And Kandang is the stables, the place where they put the buffaloes at night to stay. So this was called the Kandang Kerbau Hospital. In those old days, maybe 100 years ago, there were some buffaloes who stayed around the place. And so the hospital built there. Today's hospital is not the old one where we were. It's a new one built near there. Anyhow. When I arrived at the department, I found myself working under Professor Shears. He was professor, and there were senior lecturers and other people, and I was number 8. That was the time when we began Life Church, Prinsep Street. Please remember, I had given my life to serve the Lord, 1938. By now, it was 20 years. And what do I do? Of course. When we started Life Church, the first BP church, I was so happy. At last, I can begin to fulfill my consecration vow to serve the Lord. So we do help in the Sunday school, in the church, in the YF, in Bible camps, whatever there is. The work was so wonderful. I said, Lord, I want to do more. But this KK hospital is like a slave camp. Non-stop duties, more and more hours, more and more work, and I'm number 8. If I stay here, I'll become a slave in Egypt. So, 1955. One day I said to my wife, there she is, I think I'll go into general practice. If I stay here in the hospital, I'll be just an ordinary medical officer, number 8. And I want to do God's work. If I go into general practice, there will be more time, more freedom, more opportunity, and more money. Why not? Almost. I went into private practice. I studied all the old, about-to-die doctors. Went to visit them. Are you selling your practice? How much are you selling? Trying to think, finding a place where I can resign from hospital and go into private practice. One day, my wife said to me, why don't you go and consult Dr. Xia Cheng Xiang? He is a good friend. He'll tell you whether you should resign or not. All right. So we went. Dr. Xia was very, by the way, he's died already, but he was a good friend. And he said to you, why do you want to resign? You have got the Queen's scholarship. But of course, the government had a rule that you must graduate 3 years before you can use Queen's scholarship. So he says, you try, write in, which I did. The authorities agreed to let me go. But the most wonderful thing is this. Where do you go? You don't just go to England. You got to find a job first. You got to get a place. I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'll make you a challenge, a deal, like Gideon. I put in the fleece tonight, and if it is wet on the fleece and dry outside, that's a sign. I said to the Lord, Lord, I give you 6 months. Why 6 months? 6 months is the time for the doctor's turnover. You're posted to this hospital for 6 months. End of 6 months, you're moved to another hospital. End of 6 months, you're moved to another one. I said, I'm tired of moving. If not, you will find me a place to train in England or wherever. Within 6 months, I will take it as a sign that you want me to do obstetrics. I prayed. Within 2 months. One day I was walking in the hospital corridor and there was a doctor's tea room. And as I passed by that tea room, there was an Irish doctor, the senior lecturer next to Professor Shears, number two man. And he was asking another doctor, Dr. Chan, he says, would you like to take a training post in Belfast in obstetrics? Dr. Chan says, I'm not interested in obstetrics, I'm interested in surgery. Okay. I walked past. That's all I heard. Later on, I came back interested. I went to Dr. Roddy and said, Dr. Roddy, did Dr. Chan accept your offer of a place? He said, no. He's not interested. I said, I'm interested. Can you offer me the job? He says, I don't know. I write to Belfast for you. So he wrote. 2 weeks later, the letter came. We accept this other doctor to come and train also. I say, God works in mysterious ways. I did not know there was going to be such an offer. I walked past. By accident, I heard something. I came back. God answered that prayer. I didn't have to wait for 6 months, within 2 months. So you see, I went 1955, number 8, nearly resigned to do GP. 1956, having got the job, I packed my bags. Let me tell you this, dear friends, it was the most painful decision I ever made in my life. To go to a foreign country, strange climate, strange people, strange way of life, and live by yourself in a hospital for 2.5 years. And not to see family or anybody from Singapore for almost 3 years. Today, nobody will do such a crazy thing, you know. Those days, you can't help it. Those days to make one trip from Belfast to Singapore will cost me 4 months' salary. You can't do it. I don't have a millionaire father. So what do you do? I say, grin and bear it. Grit your teeth and say, by God's grace, I'm here on a mission. I was told 6 months after I left, KK Hospital has been turned down for training. The inspectors came from England and said, not fit. You see how God provides all those six others above me who were hoping to be trained and they get the recognition of the training without which you cannot sit the exam to get your specialist qualification. And they had been there for years and years. So, hoping, because Professor Shears said, don't worry. When I send for the inspectors from London, they see the place, they will certify you, you go. Next year, you sit exam, you come back, you all be specialists. That was the expectation.
My friends, God moves in mysterious ways, that He caused me to want to resign, and then out of that comes this alternative route, and to get a job there in 1956. So when that news came to me, I said, my, I am entrusted with a mission. The hospital is turned down, unfit to train. I'm the first to come to England to train. Therefore, to whom much is given, much is required. You got the opportunity to be trained. Come back and reorganize the hospital. So, 2.5 years I never saw my wife. We talked 3 times on the telephone. Again, you say, why don't you talk to her on the telephone? Nowadays, everybody carries a handphone. You talk all the time. Every morning, you talk. My friends, 1 minute, £1. £1, $8.50. It's my day salary, you know. I can't afford. Besides, when I talk to her, the moment she hears my voice, she cries. So what for? You frown and I cry, and then you spend £3. You don't have the money to call. 3 years, 3 times. Honestly, 3 times only. And to fly home, of course, is impossible. So costly. To fly one trip is 4 months' salary. Today, the same doctor flies one trip, 1/4 month salary. 1 month salary can fly 4 times. So different. I say that is a test. Test of resilience. Test of perseverance and patience and hard work. So I said to myself, now KK Hospital is turned down. Let me prepare. That when I get back, I will get it recognized. Which happened exactly as God had planned for me. 1956 to 1959 was the time. I call this my sentence to hard labor. But there is no gains without pains. The 3 years of training and privation and suffering in that sense did me much good. It is a test of your resilience and your trust in the Lord. Why are you in Belfast? I tell you, the most difficult thing is every weekend, all the Irish doctors go home. And I'm left alone in the hospital. I live in hospital quarters. And all my friends deserted. So, you have to eat Irish food, you know. Not the same as Chinese food. And in those days, there's no Chinese restaurant in the whole of Belfast, not even one. So you eat Irish food. Alright, 1959, I finished my job in England. I got the exam. I passed anyhow. Thank God for that. Passed. I came back. So when I came back, hey, when I went, I was number 8 after Professor Shears. When I came back, I was number 2, Shears and me. Why? Because all the rest run to England to get training. Or those who could not be so patient went into general practice. And one committed suicide. Very sad. So I found myself number 2. Lo and behold, next year, 1960, I went to work one day and said, the chair was vacant. I said, what happened? Oh, Professor Shears resigned to do private practice. What do? You sit in the chair. Friends, does it sound a bit like Joseph out of the pit to the palace? A little bit, huh? A little bit. Number 8 to number 1 in 4 years. But that is not something you can plan for, not something you can hope for or work for, but God planned it so. If I had gone into private practice, I'd be there doing a GP work. Yes. Seeing coughs and colds all the time. Yeah, that's a GP's work. If I had gone out, there'll be no way back again. Once you leave, it's finished. So I say, God is good. Back In 1960, I sat in the chair for 10 years. You say, well, what did that do for you? My dear friends, I think to do God's work, having had the 10 years experience administering a university department, looking after 200 to 300 medical students, and tens of thousands of patients, and interacting with the public for 10 years as head of department, gives you an experience you would not get otherwise. When I had to lecture in America, 14 of the top universities at that time invited me to lecture. How come? When I came back, there was a disease that was rampant, like epidemic. I said, look, this is a gold mine. Let me look after these patients for 5 years. When that research was finished with that kind of disease called molar pregnancy, that publication became the most important in the whole world at that time. Today, that disease has disappeared. Disappeared. But at that time, no one knew about that disease as well as I did. So they invited me. Where? Harvard. Johns Hopkins. Cornell. Columbia. New York. Chicago. Washington. UCLA. San Francisco. Palo Alto. All these places. Please come and tell us about molar pregnancy. We don't know anything. Come and teach us. When you go to these places and go to stand before all the Ang Mo, you prepare, you know. I bought a tape recorder. All my speeches I tape and talk to back to me 10 times. 10 times. Practice. And that practice is my school of homiletics. Homiletics means how to preach. So in preparing to have to stand before those kind of audiences, at the world level, you've got to really prepare, but God helps. So I say, dear friends, does God care for you? Is He interested in you? And if He is interested, is He able to help you? This is the question. Today I can tell you my life story. I can look back over 70 years, and it is so clear God was with me to direct my footsteps in ways that I could not have planned or hoped or schemed in any way to do those things but God. I say, dear friends, trust in the Lord. Put your full confidence, your complete trust in the Lord who can save you, for He died for you. If He spared not His only Son for you to save your soul, will He not also help your body for its bodily needs? You see the comparison? From the greater to the lesser. Which is greater? The salvation of a soul. The provision for your body is the lesser. If God has saved your soul, will He not look after your body? Will He not look after your career? Your needs for every day? Your fear of terrorism? Your fear of the future, and most of all, the fear of aging. When the outward man perish, when you have the Lord, the inward man renews day by day. You have a hope that shines brighter by the day. When you grow old, when you grow sick, when you grow infirm and you can't move, paralyzed, stroke, heart attack, all these things can come. Cancer, increasing every day. What is your protection? What is your assurance? Your insurance? Trust in the Lord. Come to Him who made you, the Creator. He's the provider. He's the protector. He's the great physician. And with Him, I say, your future is secure. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, blessed be thy holy name. How good it is to know that our Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is very concerned about every one of us, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Grant that we may all here tonight learn a lesson of trust, trusting in him in everything, that he will do all things well for us. This is our prayer. Bless your people in a great and mighty way. Amen.